Good evening and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It's a blessing to be back in the studio with, we have an entourage. I like that word. That's Sandy, word. Tara, and Shelly. And you can't see her, but Irene.
You can't see us either.
Oh, that's right. You can't see us. Way to break the ice.
That's right.
It's one of those days. We are continuing on with Tara Rye's study called 7 Moments Jesus Prayed, Wishing Forward. And this is a study that she is currently doing at the Open Door Mission, but doesn't have the actual book published yet, but it is an amazing study. I know I have learned and so much just from last time that we were together about the Our Father prayer. And this time we're going to be in Luke 22, 39 through 46, and the 7th moment that Jesus prayed.
Yeah. You know, there's 7 times in the book of Luke where it says this little phrase, Jesus prayed. And before I say anything, I'm excited in that next year I will be speaking this series in Canada for a women's conference at Christian Elam Lodge. So I'm really looking forward to that. And so if you're listening, Marlene, hi. And so I'm looking forward to that. But this series, I can't even tell you how much this series is impacting my life. Mm-hmm. And this particular last story, it's powerful. And I titled it, Jesus Prayed in Times of Preparation. Mm-hmm. And the reason I titled it that is because it's at the moment in Luke 22 where Jesus has been faithful in teaching. And he's preached, he's taught, and he's healed, and he has used the parables. He has used questions. And it was all with the intent of equipping the disciples so that they could guard against deception and know what truth is. Mm. And in the chapter of Luke 21, there's a few things that are really key that lead up to chapter 22. And Jesus looked at the disciples and he said, you know what? You have got to make up your minds now. You have to make up your minds yourself. No one can make it up for you. You have to decide this. And he goes, you have to choose to stand firm in order to gain life. Mm. And he said, you need to be on watch and pray that you will be able to escape that which was about to happen so that you can stand before the Son of Man. And that is a summary of chapter 21, but specifically it's Luke 21:19, 21:14, and 21:36. And those phrases, as I was reading through the passages, it so hit me. And I thought, he tells them, take a stand. He tells them to guard against deception. He tells them, so you can stand before me. And so he's preparing them for what is about to happen because he knew that the Father had put things all under his power and things were about to change. And so they go in and he tells them to go prepare for the Passover. And as they're preparing for the Passover, he sends them out to go and get the room ready and tells them how to do it. And it happens exactly as he tells them. I mean, it's exactly the way he suggested. And they set it up. And at the Passover, he looks at them and he said, I have been looking forward to this Passover because it's going to be my last until it's fulfilled.
Mm.
And he is giving them very important information. And at the Passover, if you remember, he actually washed the feet of the very one that would betray him. And nobody in the room knew that he was washing the betrayer. They didn't figure it out. In fact, when he said a betrayer would come, they all were like, is it me? Is it me, Lord? And when it was time and Judas left, they didn't even understand that it was Judas at that point, even though that is what the case was. And so after the Passover meal, it's probably like a 15-minute walk, and they went to the Mount of Olives. And he turned and he looked at the disciples and he said, pray that you will not fall into temptation. And at this point, Jesus withdrew from them. And they say it was like maybe a stone's throw. So it's not very far. They can hear what's going on. And he kneels down and he begins to pray. And he prays, Father, if you will, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, Father, but your will be done. And as this happens, suddenly an angel appears and the angel begins to strengthen Jesus. And as the angel strengthens him, he begins to pray in anguish even more earnestly than he had before. And as he is praying, it says in Scripture that he sweat as if blood was dripping from him. And Jesus got up and he went over to the disciples. And you know what? They were so exhausted. They were so tired from what they were enduring that he looked at them and he noticed that they were asleep. And he says, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." So when Jesus came back again the third time, he looks at them and he finds them still sleeping. And he says, "Are you still sleeping and resting? The hour is near, and the Son of Man has been betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go." Okay, right here in a very small passage, we see his passion for prayer. Mm-hmm. And he gives a call to prayer for a specific reason. What is the reason he tells them to get up and pray?
So they won't fall into temptation.
Right. For strength.
Ah, yeah. I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, here they are, his friends, his disciples that have walked and seen. And just as at the Transfiguration, as Peter, James, and John were given the privilege of going to the Transfiguration, mm-hmm. and seeing the glory of God revealed, they have been given a privilege on this night to be with him in prayer. And what happened? They went to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he only asked him for 1 hour.
Yeah.
I remember seeing them.
Yeah, and another, yeah. In another chapter, yes, mm-hmm. he does. And you're sitting there thinking, what would cause them to fall asleep? Now, I don't want us to judge the disciples. I don't want us to think that, oh, they were bad or anything. I really want us to understand Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew mm-hmm. what they were about to face. He knows what we're going to face. And as they were preparing for this, and I, you know, and it's funny because this isn't how I intended the order of things to go, but I really feel like this is, we're going to start here, even though what I have formatted in the book, it's the end of the chapter. But we're going to start with this because I just, as I was writing and preparing and praying, I think it was this morning, it was just coming so full that I wanted us to hit this. There's two things that we have to understand as a form of temptation that's coming. And it's a physical form of temptation, but it's also a spiritual mm-hmm. form of temptation. So let's just, I mean, there is no right or wrong answer. This is just what I was gleaning from this passage. So thinking about the circumstances and the all that they have seen and experienced, what would you view the physical form of temptations that might be coming at the disciples?
Well, the fatigue.
Yeah.
Right. Why are they tired?
The Passover.
Just emotionally drained makes you tired.
Yeah. Why are they emotionally drained?
Well, they talked about the sorrow, so they're grieving.
Okay.
That he's going to die.
Yeah. 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 Exactly.
They're not going to be with him anymore.
Right.
They learned that. Okay.
I just think it just had to be so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not in the position that we're in to be able to read from, you know, the beginning to the end and just mm-hmm. to what's next mm-hmm. kind of thing, the anticipation, mm-hmm. the anxiety, because mm-hmm. they have been through so much, they've seen so much, they've experienced so much, they've been asked exactly that. Yeah. I mean, and God asks us to do certain things, and what do we do? Later, maybe mm-hmm. not now.
Well, or, and they're human.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're human, they're full of, they're yep. sinful,
doubt.
And
yeah.
Jesus isn't, so he's saying, even though I've endured this, mm-hmm. I never fell to temptation like you will or mm-hmm. you could.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, when I have dealt with overwhelming circumstances, I learned something that overwhelms me, or I have experienced something that overwhelms me, or I have felt something that has overwhelmed me, my first response is to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Have you mm-hmm. felt, there's something about, somehow, if I go to sleep, then I can regather my thoughts, I can recoup, maybe I can think straighter mm-hmm. or something. That is something that naturally comes to me. I know for some people it's to clean, for some people it's, you know,
yeah,
Shelly.
I do that.
No. Is that yours?
Uh-huh.
Shelly organizes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to call you the next time you hear something overwhelmed. And, you know, we each have something that we're going to bend towards.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what's really happened to these disciples. And the scripture actually says they were exhausted with sorrow, as mm-hmm. Cindy said, exhausted with sorrow. And I thought about, well, what is the temptation that he's referring to? He says that they're going to have temptation. Well, what we have to understand, what is temptation? The temptation, is it talking unto sin? Mm-hmm. Is it a temptation unto something? What is the temptation? And this morning, as I was going through this passage, it was like, wow. It unfolds in the Lord's Supper. I saw three temptations that are like the great temptations we will all face at some point in our Christian walk. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, God, your word so amazes me. And it was so clear to me why in Luke 21, he would look at them and tell them in 19, 14, and 36, stand guard, get up, you have to make the choice. Deception is coming. Do you understand? The deceiver is coming. And you've got to make the choice now, before deception comes, that you're going to stand firm. You have to choose in the time of peace. In your preparation for what is to come, you have to decide now. I am not going to waver. I'm not going to walk away. I'm not going to seek fame. I am not going to do anything that will hinder me from being the person that I am called to be in Christ. I'm not going to deny him. So the things that I just listed out, I want you to hear, and I'm gonna try to break these down, and it may take us a couple of times to get it fully unwrapped, and I really want you guys to dialogue with me on this. But I'm just going to list the three that I saw first, and then I want us to go in and dive in and look at them more in depth. But I saw that the revelation of a betrayer, that all of us can become a betrayer. All of us can betray Christ. Every single one of us can be a person who will betray him. I saw also a grasp for greatness. Can we, the brothers, the sons of thunder said, can we sit beside you on the right hand? And all the disciples were shocked. Yeah. So I saw a grasping for greatness. We saw a betrayer. We saw a grasping for greatness. And then we saw the preparation of denial.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Peter.
Yeah, yeah. The betrayer would be the deceit. Mm-hmm. And then the denial that is to come. And so I was thinking, in our walk with God, at any given moment in any believer's life or in somebody's life who is somebody who is learning about Christ for the very first time, they can become the person who chooses to walk away. They can become the person who seeks to grasp fame instead of giving the fame to Christ. Or they can become the person who denies Christ and doesn't allow him to have the place where he deserves to have that place. Do you see how that is really how deception comes in, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Not all of them are bad, because the wanting to be known is the greatness, and yet it's a form of deception. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, wow. Oh, Lord, wow. And I'm in the process. I have some circumstances in my life where I'm sharing Christ, where the person has completely walked away from the Lord. And the lies that are coming into this person through the things that they are studying and reading, the person is so into the lie, I can't get through with the truth. The truth doesn't even resonate, and doesn't even realize how what they are speaking doesn't even make sense. I mean, it's crazy. It's just crazy how that happens. And so we can one, encounter it as a believer trying to share with others, but we as a believer can also be the one who does this, because these are the disciples.
And I guess my question to you, Tara, is when you are around those people that are choosing to live in the thick of deception and follow something that's not true, how far do you pursue them?
Well, that's a tough question. Okay, let's use a biblical example. What did Jesus do with the rich man, the rich young ruler? When
Nicodemus or
The one that walked away, did Jesus go after him?
No,
he didn't. He let him go.
He told him the truth, though.
He did tell him the truth, but then when he chose to walk away, he let him walk. And you know, Sabrina, I have two circumstances in my life. One is a sold out believer for Jesus Christ that has chosen to walk in the path of immorality. And the other is a person who I think thought at some point came to know the Lord, but but honestly, I think was deceived and really didn't do it for the right reasons, and so did not know the Lord.
Okay.
In both of these circumstances, it is somebody I am intimately close with, have served in some capacity with, know very well, and God has been putting that question to me. In one of the circumstances, the Lord has made it very clear to me that I am to be the hound of heaven over that person. And so that person, and that's the person in particular in immorality, that person is getting the word from me, and the word in the hardest way I have ever in my life given the word to somebody, because I am trying to rescue a believer from the pit of hell. Okay? The other person is getting the word from me, but it's different because this person isn't getting it in the form of a reprimand, because this person doesn't yet know the Lord.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a big difference.
Mm-hmm. It's the difference between a believer and a pre-believer or an unbeliever, or a person who has known but doesn't really know. And so my approach for the two is totally different. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so I have been actually struggling with that question, like you would not believe, I think more than any other time in my life, in the hardest way I've ever struggled with it, and trying to know how to handle and rightly divide the word of truth so that I'm not coming over as ruler and judge, mm-hmm. but as conveyor of truth, because the truth is what sets us free. And so, knowing that, I have had circumstances where I knew without a doubt that the Lord told me to be silent. Mm-hmm. Enough has been said. And so I think that is a matter of us praying. Mm-hmm.
So every situation that needs to be prayed and asked for wisdom, it's individual.
And it was with Jesus, with every person he interacted with, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It was never the same. I mean, what he did, how he did it, how he approached it, with the questions he used, mm-hmm. the stories, the parables, you know.
Each situation,
It's all for the same thing, mm-hmm, yeah. the same truth of the gospel, but it's different in how he approached it and as he was discussing it with them.
Yeah, I think the other thing is, you know, when you are speaking and when you're speaking in love,
mm-hmm.
And not, I mean, for me, just as a, I don't know, 5 years, I think I'm a toddler believer now, preschool, you know, because that was one of the things for me that just sometimes just pushed me
absolutely
farther away and put my wall higher up when I was kind of being, when I was being judged,
mm-hmm. That's
by
the key.
Believers.
You were being judged.
And, mm-hmm. you know, that's the thing. It's like God's love has to show in everything mm-hmm. you say and do around those people. And I'll just give you an example with my own mother, mm. you know, and it's just, it's, I could have just been preachy, you know, down her throat. And I've really just put it in God's hands and just allowed him to guide me at the times that when I'm ready to go, I go, and I go with the right words. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's being more perceptive or receptive to the word now. And she's actually, I had her read a book, and she's like, you know, I've got a lot of questions about this book. So there's a searching going on. Right. And if I would have pushed her, mm-hmm. she would have pushed me away.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Serena, we're done. God bless.